New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
It's one of my favorite times of doing this show, and that's when I get to do draft player profiles for the upcoming NBA draft. Today, we'll be looking at kind of primarily wing players, mainly small forwards. We'll be taking a look at that position today. We're also going to take a look at updates on both Mark Eversley and his future with the Chicago Bulls, DeMar DeRozan expected to re-sign with the Bulls, and Casey Johnson drops a bomb on Zach LaVine. Not really. We kind of knew most of it already, if I'm being honest. We're going to get to all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into it for today. And so we're going to start off with the news topics today, and then we're going to get into the draft profiles, which I know what everybody's looking forward to. Hell, I'm ready to get to them as well. One of the best positions to cover when you're doing kind of draft analysis is the wings, because wing players can bring so much excitement between defense, offense, playmaking, things like that. It's a really exciting position to cover. So we'll be covering the wings today on this episode. But first, I want to talk about this update. So via The Athletic is that Mark Eversley is a reported list of finalists for the Detroit Pistons opening of president of basketball operations. Now, reportedly, they also have Tim Connelly with the Minnesota Timberwolves as their top candidate. And they'll have to wait to what goes on with the Minnesota Timberwolves season. More than likely, he could be a outright free agent on the executive market. So they could be waiting to just kind of get a chance to sign him directly. But Mark Eversley, this is like the third or fourth job that Mark Eversley's name has come up with. He actually came up with the Detroit job previously as well. So that just kind of them circling back and reaffirming their former interest on Mark Eversley. And the way that I view it is very simple. I think that it's only a matter of time before Mark Eversley does eventually take one of these jobs out there on the open market. And, you know, it is what it is. It happens. Execs move on, coaches move on, things like that. And so, you know, it's not really a question of if. I think for me it's more of a question of when and what that perfect job is for Mark Eversley. And I think it does show that, you know, despite the Bulls' struggles with, you know, really, you know, winning games at the level that they want to, some of the struggles, even with the flaws on the roster, it seems like Mark Eversley still has a nice amount of cachet around the league as far as interest on what would his version of running a team be like. And so, you know, like I said before, it's only a matter of time of when that's going to happen. You know, I have my conspiracy theory that if and when Mark Eversley does move on, I would not be surprised if Billy Donovan moves to the front office into a GM role. I with the way that, you know, AK loves Billy, the way that the front office loves Billy as well, the fact that you see coaches now moving to the front office more regularly after stints of running of being the head coach of a team. So I do think that those things could all play a part into Billy Donovan eventually going into that front office role when Mark Eversley eventually leaves. So also one thing that did come out about this is that apparently Eversley is already interviewed for the position. That comes from two league sources reportedly. Be the Athletic, so they probably have already know if Tim Connelly does not become available for the Detroit Pistons, it seems like the Pistons probably are already know who that role is going to be. So, you know, if we eventually get it announced that Mark Eversley is leaving, I would not be surprised at all. So we'll end up seeing what happens with that. You know, Mark Eversley, you know, I'm never going to be mad at somebody going and getting new opportunities, things like that in the NBA. You don't want to just sit around spinning your wheels. And so we'll see what that brings about with that as well. So, you know, and so Casey Johnson was one of the first people on top of The Athletic to really break that story. Casey Johnson also mentioned that and reaffirmed the fact that, you know, the marriage is the way that he described it between Zach LaVine and the Chicago Bulls is coming to an end this offseason. So, you know, take that for how you will. I know, you know, my boy Winton, one of my favorite, one of the first subscribers here as well, And he always make sure he says take what KC takes with a grain of salt, and take all these things in the offseason with a grain of salt. But I think we've seen enough kind of the story hasn't changed on the Zach LaVine front, right? Outside of KC Johnson in this recent interview. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and play a clip from it here. You can hear KC Johnson's own words here.
And so that means there will be rumors. That means there probably will be speculation, KC. And I wonder what is the best one? What's the most likely rumor concerning Zach LaVine and anything for his future?
You know, this was the time last year when I started reporting some stuff I had heard about him being made available in some casual conversations, which is really kind of what set off the whole chain of events to be where we are today. You know, that Zach and his representative were kind of tired of being shopped. And so when the team got off to that poor start, Zach kind of hit his breaking point. And, you know, it's been pretty well documented by now that he never specifically asked for a trade. He didn't say trade me. He just said, look, if we keep losing, we understand how this business works, and you guys might be looking again to move me. And if that happens, let's work together on this. And that's where things stand. So, you know, the lottery was yesterday. I'll be out there today at the combine. This is when you start hearing gossip. I haven't heard anything concrete yet, but it's also very well documented that is priority number one for the Bulls this offseason. And quite frankly, for Zach, I mean, I have said many times, you know, this is a relationship it's not like it's acrimonious or, you know, hatred right. flowing from both sides. It just needs to end. And both sides kind of feel that. And it's just it's like a marriage that is headed for a divorce. And it's just a matter of, when, not if. So, you know, you'll hear some more concrete stuff this week for sure.
And so you hear from that in KC Johnson, just, you know, him reaffirming the fact that, you know, it wasn't an outright trade request. It was more like a, hey, you know, if this thing doesn't turn around, we understand what's going to have to get done. But both sides are kind of ready for this relationship to end. And I think the way he used the marriage analogy for it is kind of perfect. It's just, hey, it's just time. It's time for it to end. Sometimes things just come to their natural close. And that's where the Bulls now sit with Zach LaVine and having to make a decision on what the future of Zach LaVine is going to be. But another player that also a decision has to be made on the future is DeMar DeRozan. And this one comes from Mike Soto with Hoops Hype, who says that there is belief around the NBA that the Bulls will re-sign DeMar DeRozan, that they will be willing to offer him what he wants to get paid, that they'll offer him the role and the pay that he won't get anywhere else. Now, I do appreciate that Michael in this interview framed it as belief. Right, because you're getting already a lot of people to take this article and say, just present it as, oh, DeMar DeRozan's re-signing with the Chicago Bulls. That's not necessarily what it said. And it could be posturing, right? The Chicago Bulls don't want it to be out there that they may not be willing to re-sign DeMar DeRozan. That will put them at a disadvantage as far as any type of moves, even if it's not DeMar DeRozan. If they're out there looking for trades and teams are thinking, hey, you already know that you want to trade Zach LaVine. We've hearing through the grapevine, you guys aren't going to be re-signing DeMar DeRozan. So you're trying to get the most out of these assets. So it could be very much so a ploy, right, to just, you know, keep things out there, to keep some, maintain some flexibility where you can. I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being the case. But I mean, ultimately, just it comes down to this. The Bulls have to decide where they want to go. What in this offseason, what is this going to do for your draft stock next year? That's really what it comes down to with DeMar DeRozan, right? Not to say I've said it. He's not a bad player. He's earned another contract. He has his flaws, all those things. He's 34 years old, going on 35. All those things are true. The Bulls have to seriously ask themselves that top 10 pick that's protected to the San Antonio Spurs. What do we really want to get out of that? Now, one could say, hey, with DeMar here, we are almost top 10 anyway. So maybe you can keep him and you still end up keeping your pick. So those things are all valid questions around that, but those are answers that the front office has to find and decide what they want to do, and if they want to increase their chances to keep that 2025 first round pick in an extremely deep draft or not. But all right, y'all, so that's kind of the news items for today. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of today's episode, and that is our draft player profiles. And we're going to start off with Dalton Knecks. And so this is a guy who, when you look at him, he's drawing comps to Mike Miller in that he's 23 years old, a little bit of an older prospect here, 6'6", 215 pounds. He can play shooting guard or small forward. When you look at his collegiate stats, this guy is just a fluid scorer. last year in college basketball, 21 points per game, 4.9 rebounds per game, right under 2 assists per game, and he did that on 45% shooting and 39% from three-point range. What do the Bulls need? Three-point shooting. He took 6.5 last year, made that at almost a 40% clip in that. Now, defensively, that's where he's an active defender. So it's not like he's a bad defender, but he just doesn't do, like, with his length and his size, you would expect some different things there. But he uses his ability to take players off the dribble. He has a nice set of moves to be able to drive and get to the rim. When you look at his three-point shooting to that, it really makes him really, really difficult to guard. He has a nice amount of floaters and layups as well when he gets around the rim as well on top of that. And he can catch and shoot as well. He is one of the most fluid scorers that you're going to find in this league. I mean, in this draft. Now, the question remains of where he's going to be drafted at, right? And so with all these players, like I'm going to keep saying with all this, the whole entire draft, is that you have him going anywhere from top 4 in this draft. So some mocks have him falling around 10, 11, right? So it's the range there that you're going to have to find from him. But overall, listen, he is an extremely efficient scorer. And that's the thing that you look for him. He gets solid rebounds positionally as well. He can get put back dunks on that on top of all those things. And he has some post moves to set up for floaters, mid-range shots, things like that. He has a fadeaway with a very high release, which helps create separation when he does get into some congestion in that paint. And he's super confident in his ability to score. Good catch-and-shoot player. Can do some things off the dribble, right? He is a player that a lot of his scoring techniques do transfer over to the NBA level. You're not worried about that. He can finish around the rim, things like that. With more kind of athletic defenders, yeah. But when he has that catch-and-shoot ability as well, to where you can run him off screens, he's not going to have to do as much off the dribble. That's where Dalton Connect really, really thrives at, right? But when you have it, he's mobile, he has length, he has all those things, but he has not been a lockdown defender, an active defender, not a lockdown defender. He can learn to use his length more effectively to be a better defender at the NBA level. That's something you're definitely going to look at to see how your training staff can really get that out of him. But other than that, this is a guy who really, he's a very fluid scorer in this draft. He is not, in the open floor, he's not as crafty, but again, he can get some things done. I'm not really worried about that. He's fast enough as well in the fast break to not be a hindrance to a team that likes to move the ball a little bit more faster. So, you know, that's what it is as well. He understands how to use his strength. He understands how to use his size and length as well. And he is really solid. And he's one of the older players in this draft. So he would be one of those players that you're expecting to come in and be able to contribute right away. And because of that, you know, his skill set is something that some teams may be willing to bite on. His age may also cause him to drop in this draft, which may put him there at the Bulls. But Dalton Connect is a player that I'm not down on. It's just, it's will he fall to us? And then if the Bulls do make that move, it still leaves a lot of other options, a lot of other holes on the team. But if you lose DeMar, if you lose Zach this offseason, and they're both not here anymore, Dalton Connect, you can do a lot worse than if he's the player that ends up falling to you in the draft. Not one of my favorite players in the draft, just because.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Because of kind of the age and the ceiling's a little bit lower there. But again, if you're looking for a prospect that can contribute right away and you don't have to worry about some of his skills rounding out, he has NBA skills right away. Yes, he's going to improve. Yes, he's going to develop. But again, that's kind of my thought process on it. You can let me know what you guys think about Dalton down below. Next, we're going to get into a player that I know a lot of people are excited for in this draft. And, you know, more and more mocks are having Cody Williams fall to the Chicago Bulls. But there's still some mocks that have him going as early as second, third, fourth, right? So it comes down to the position of the draft, what other teams go after as well. But Cody Williams is a guy, when you look at modern day point forwards, he's that guy. Only 19 years old, 6'8", 190 pounds. He's been comped to by draft experts. None of these comps are mine. I don't really like making player comps. My brain doesn't work well with that. But he's been comped to a less explosive T-Mac, Tracy McGrady. So take that for what you will in it. Now, the stats didn't jump out the stat sheet for you, right? He wasn't this huge scorer. 11.9 points per game his freshman year. He played 24 games. He averaged 28 minutes over that time, but he did shoot the ball 55% from the field and 41% from three-point range. Didn't take a whole hell of a lot of threes, though. 1.7 threes per game in that. He did average over an assist, three rebounds, and right under a block and a steal per game, did Cody Williams in his freshman year in college. The thing when it comes down to it, his ball handling. The thing you're going to notice in watching these highlights if you're on the YouTube side is that he is a very fluid player. He can finish with either hand as well. He has great touch when he gets into the rim as well. His ability to change direction and speed because of his length and the way he takes long strides, it really does really good for him. The size that he has on that wing position is really good. His ability to be a point forward as well is solid. His jumper is a little slow, but I'm not too worried about that. He makes good decisions out the pick and roll as well. I really like the skill set that he has, right? He's never been a great three-point shooter, even though he shot the ball well as far as a percentage, but that's something that you think can maybe round out in his game. Now, when I said that the comps that other draft experts are using for him is a less explosive T-Mac, it kind of makes sense. He's a guy that uses his length to be able to get to the rim, definitely, right? And you can't do that. He also has great ability to switch defensively, which is something you're really looking for at that NBA level. But he's not this great leaper. He's not going to jump out the gym for you. Don't expect any kind of highlight reel crazy dunks from him or anything like that. But he does use his length to get to the basket pretty regularly. And, you know, the mechanics are good on his three-point shooting shot. So maybe you think that could round out a little bit for him as well. And he doesn't really have a nice mid-range game either quite yet. He also needs to get stronger. He needs to fill out his frame a little bit, but that's going to be said about a lot of these draft prospects overall in most drafts. But his versatility defensively, on the wing, all those things are there. But the thing with Cody Williams is we've drafted a lot of players that you can say those similar things to. You know, Dalen Terry, right? Patrick Williams, Julian Phillips. All players that are very different as far as like what they project to be, what some of their strengths are going to be, but still like it's like kind of like we've been here. And that's not a knock on Cody Williams, but this would kind of be the Bulls doing some things that Bulls fans have been complaining about. That's doing the same thing, right? But it comes down to, do you see Cody Williams' ceiling being that much higher than these other players? And if you do, maybe you then move on from them. Maybe you do move on from Patrick Williams, things like that. That's a story for another day if the Bulls decide to go this route. But Cody Williams has tremendous upside, tremendous versatility to guard multiple positions as well. I like him a lot in this draft. I really do like Cody Williams. And we'll see what he ends up turning into, man, in this draft. Next one that I want to talk about is Ronald Holland. Now, this is a guy my boy Ricky isn't too high on. He's drawn comps to Tari Eason in it. 6'8", 205 pounds, 19 years old, really good size for his position as well. Has a 6'10 wingspan. Very strong frame. He's a physical player as well that you're going to see with this. And you know, opposite of kind of like a Cody Williams, he's a huge high-level athlete. When you look at his running, his jumping, all those type of things, he's a one-foot leaper as well that he can get really good time in that. Takes long strides in fast break. This is a guy who, in an up-tempo style offense, is going to do amazingly. And in the open floor, he can get extremely creative. Great first step with him as well. And I really like kind of those upsides. Now, some people have some doubt around his ability, again, playing with the G League Ignite last season. Averaged 19.5 points per game, which is really good, right? He did that on 44% shooting, 24% from three-point range. He was taking almost 4 three-pointers per game. So another question on that shooting, do you think that three-point shooting could round out for you? But if you're drafting Ronald Holland, it's going to be his ability to get out in transition, his ability to pass, his ability to finish around the rim, and how strong of a physical and versatile defender he is. He can guard all up and down, all the way from probably 1 to 4 in a lot of cases, being 6'8", having that wingspan as well. And like I said, he can fill out some as well, but he still has a strong body overall. He moves really good laterally and things like that. So it's really good there, and he has really good confidence. He takes players off the dribble. He doesn't back down, and he's one of the younger people in this draft class as well. When you look at weaknesses, terrible free throw shooter so far. And with his athleticism, how he does have that quick first step and get out in the open court, I can see him getting to the free throw line a lot. And the fact that he's a 58% free throw shooter, a little bit concerned there. But he can maybe work on that for sure, especially being as young as he is. He has a really good arc on his shot, really good kind of fundamentals there, but he can be a streaky shooter from three-point range, which we kind of already talked about. And some of his decision-making when passing, he's not creative with the ball. You won't really want to use him as a point forward right away. You do want to have a really good rebounder for him as well. I mean, point guard with him as well, which, you know, we have solid, we're pretty good there, right? So, you know, those are kind of things that you really look out for. And he also can get into some foul trouble sometimes that causes a little bit of concern there. So, you know, I like the guy overall. Not one of my favorite prospects in this draft, but a guy that if the Bulls were to pick him, like I said again, it'd kind of be more so aligned with what the Bulls have been doing the last couple of years in the draft. And we kind of want something different there. That's just my personal opinion. You guys can let me know what you think down below. Next up, we're going to be talking about Terrence Shannon Jr. Now, everybody knows, like, Terrence Shannon Jr. went to Illinois from Chicago, all these type of things. He's drawing comps to Desmond Bain, you know, from draft experts. 6'7", 225 pounds, has an NBA-ready body right now. And the thing with Terrence Shannon is, he is a three-level scorer. That's it. 23 points per game last year in college. He averaged 15 points per game over his collegiate career, five years there. He's a 34% three-point shooter over his career, 36% last season, taking 6.5 per game. Also 47% from the field last year as well. He 2.2 assists, right under a block per game, over a steal per game as well. Terrence Shannon Jr., if the Bulls do move on from DeMar, Zach, one or the other, or both of them, if they decide to go wing in this draft, Terrence Shannon Jr. is great. The bigger thing, biggest question isn't what he can bring on the basketball court. It's the other thing. It seems like the case may be going his way, which is good. But would that deter Arturis Karnasova, who typically drafts high-character guys, kind of steers away from some of those more concerning things? Would he draft that guy? Would he draft a guy like Terrence Shannon Jr.? But outside of that, big score. His scoring ability is the thing that you look at. He's going to be able to score right away. Has an extremely different amount of ways that he can score. With his physicality, he can bully smaller defenders as well. Listen, this guy, he can get up, he can dunk, he can shoot, he can do almost everything that. And he rounded out his 3-point game this year, was what was one of the questions coming into this year for him. He finishes through contact. He can get and ones. He's a solid free throw shooter on top of that as well. Like, the dude, scoring-wise, can bring everything that you need. Look at his size, 6'7", with a 6'8 wingspan. You know, this guy, he doesn't have necessarily the AK wingspan that he looks for, but this is a guy who makes smart decisions. He's really good as far as efficiency, really looks good at him. He was third in the country in scoring, and on top of that, his versatility to score at all three levels is huge from him. The negatives about Terrence Shannon Jr., though, of course, outside of the court stuff, the off the thing, he has a quick release, but sometimes that release can be a little bit low, so that's something that you got to look for there. And he's not really a playmaker. Are there some concerns about him maybe turning into a black hole at the NBA level with him not being the best passer? Potentially, right? He has a solid enough handle, but there's some questions on how much is he going to be able to create his own shot. That's some solid questions there for him as well. And because of his lack of length, how much is that going to show? How much is that going to limit his potential defensively? So those are questions you have to ask yourself when it comes to Terrence Shannon Jr. But overall, a guy I really like in this draft as well out of Illinois. All right, the last guy that we're going to cover today, and I try to cover five prospects. If a wing that you like is not on this list, I'm going to have another episode of some of the guys that I missed on covering. So we'll get that draft analysis there. But Trenton Flowers, 19, 6'9", 180 pounds. He comes from the NBL over in Australia. The thing with this guy is he's drawing comps to Kelly Oubre Jr., but with a higher defensive upside. This is a guy who, he is not afraid to take any shots, right? He takes a contested shots as well. He shot the ball 35.7% on his threes and 64.9% on free throws as well. He's a solid enough player. The thing with this is he has some good point forward skills. When you look at the passes he's able to make, he has the potential to be a multi-positional defender as well at the NBA level. The bigger question for him is he can't create off the dribble for himself right now. And his shot form looks a little bit weird as well. But again, he forces some shots also at times. So one of the younger players in this draft as well. So you're hoping if you do him is high upside, right? And I know a lot of Bulls fans don't want to keep hearing the high upside conversation. They want guys that can contribute now. He needs to tighten his handle. He turns the ball over a lot at times as well. He has some of the Zach LaVine problems of dribbling the ball off his foot when defenders kind of really clamp down on him as well. And those are kind of things. But the potential is there. For him to be a two-way player, it's really there. He has some really good as far as a shot-making ability. That's where you're getting the Kelly Oubre Juniors, and he's an active defender with tremendous defensive upside as well. So this is a guy that has upside for the Chicago Bulls. The question is really, how much of this do you feel like you can round out, and how much time can you take developing this player? And we'll really see that now that the Bulls have a whole player development staff, do they even double down further in them taking high upside guys that need time to develop, or do they go with kind of more of the ready-made prospects, right? So that's kind of the things and thought process behind like a Trenton Flowers, but we'll see what ends up happening there. But those are the five wings that I'm covering so far, and it will round back out, get to some more of the wings in this draft as well. But let me know, who are some of the guys that stood out to you in this? Who are some of your favorite wings in this draft as well? A lot of the mocks do have the Bulls going wings, and I think that's because of they're expecting a Zach LaVine trade or DeMar DeRozan or both to walk away. So we'll see what happens there, guys. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.